Welcome to your A-Level PE Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and mark-rich topics in the WJEC specification, biomechanical principles. That's topic 2.3. Whether you're sitting your exam in a few weeks or just getting started with this unit, stick with me. By the end of this episode, you'll have a solid grip on Newton's laws, lever systems, angular motion, and fluid mechanics. Let's get into it. First, let's set the scene. Biomechanics is essentially the application of mechanical principles to human movement. Think of it as physics, but applied to sport. When a sprinter explodes off the blocks, when a diver tucks into a somersault, when a footballer bends a free kick, all of that is governed by biomechanical laws. Your job in the exam is to identify those laws, name them correctly, and explain how they apply to the specific movement you're given. That's the key. Always link back to the sporting context. Now let's work through the core concepts one by one. Newton's laws of motion. There are three, and you need to know all of them inside out. Newton's first law is the law of inertia. An object will remain at rest or continue moving in a straight line at constant velocity unless acted upon by an external force. In sport, think of a hockey ball sitting on the pitch. It won't move until a player hits it, or a sprinter at the end of a race. They continue moving forward even after crossing the finish line because of their inertia. The key phrase examiners want to see is net force. If the net force is zero, motion doesn't change. Newton's second law is the law of acceleration. Force equals mass multiplied by acceleration. F equals m times a. This is the one where you'll be asked to calculate. If a rugby player of 90 kilograms accelerates at 3 meters per second squared, the force applied is 270 newtons. Always include units. This is a classic mark-losing mistake. The law also tells us that a greater force produces greater acceleration, and a lighter athlete will accelerate more quickly for the same applied force. Examiners love questions about why elite sprinters have a high power-to-weight ratio. Newton's second law is your answer. Newton's third law is the law of reaction. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The most important application here is ground reaction force. When a sprinter pushes backward and downward into the blocks, the ground pushes forward and upward with an equal and opposite force. That's what propels them forward. Make sure you always identify both forces, the action force and the reaction force, and state that they are equal in magnitude but opposite in direction. Many candidates describe only one force and lose marks. Now let's move on to scalar and vector quantities. This is a favorite for short answer questions. A scalar quantity has magnitude only. Examples are speed, distance, mass, and time. A vector quantity has both magnitude and direction. Examples are velocity, displacement, force, acceleration, and momentum. The classic trap is confusing speed with velocity. Speed is how fast you're moving, scalar. Velocity is how fast you're moving in a specific direction, vector. If a swimmer completes one length of a 50-meter pool and returns, their distance is 100 meters, but their displacement is zero because they're back where they started. Examiners will test this distinction directly. Now let's talk about lever systems. This is where a lot of candidates lose marks unnecessarily, so pay close attention. Every lever has three components. The fulcrum, that's the pivot point, usually a joint. The effort, that's the muscle force. And the load, that's the resistance being moved. Usually the weight of the body segment or an implement. Use the acronym FELE to remember the three classes. First class lever, fulcrum in the middle. Think of a seesaw. In the body, the classic example is the head nodding. The atlanto-occipital joint is the fulcrum. The weight of the head is the load at the front, and the neck extensor muscles provide the effort at the back. First class levers can produce both force and speed depending on the arrangement. Second class lever, load in the middle. Think of a wheelbarrow. The wheel is the fulcrum, the load is in the middle, and you apply effort at the handles. In the body, the classic example is a calf raise. The ball of the foot is the fulcrum. Body weight is the load acting through the ankle, and the calf muscles provide the effort. Second class levers always favor force production. Third class lever, effort in the middle. Think of a fishing rod or tweezers. In the body, the bicep curl is the classic example. The elbow joint is the fulcrum. The bicep inserts between the fulcrum and the load, so the effort is in the middle. The load is the weight of the forearm and any dumbbell. Third-class levers are the most common in the human body and favor speed and range of movement over force. Remember, FLE, fulcrum middle equals first, load middle equals second, effort middle equals third. Now for angular motion, this is where it gets really exciting and it's worth a lot of marks and extended writing questions. angular motion is rotation around an axis. The key variables are angular velocity, how fast something rotates, measured in radians per second, moment of inertia, the resistance to change in angular motion, which depends on both the mass of the body and how that mass is distributed relative to the axis of rotation, and angular momentum, which equals moment of inertia multiplied by angular velocity. The conservation of angular momentum is the big concept here. Once a performer leaves the ground, like a diver or gymnast, no external torques act on them, so their angular momentum remains constant. This means if they change their moment of inertia, their angular velocity must change to compensate. Here's the practical application. A diver takes off from the board in an extended position, arms and legs spread wide. This gives them a large moment of inertia and therefore a slow angular velocity. They then tuck, pulling their knees to their chest, bringing mass closer to the axis of rotation. This dramatically reduces their moment of inertia, so angular velocity must increase to keep angular momentum constant. They spin faster. Before entering the water, they extend again, increasing moment of inertia, slowing the spin for a controlled entry. Beautiful physics. Examiners want you to use the correct terminology. Moment of inertia, angular velocity, angular momentum, axis of rotation, conservation. Don't just say they spin faster when they tuck. Explain why using the relationship between I and omega. Finally, let's cover fluid mechanics, specifically the Bernoulli effect and drag. The Bernoulli principle states that as the velocity of a fluid increases, its pressure decreases. This creates lift and swerve in sport. A football struck with spin, think of a curling free kick, has one side moving faster through the air than the other. The faster moving air has lower pressure. The ball moves towards the lower pressure side, creating the curve. This is the Magnus effect, which is an application of Bernoulli's principle. Here's the critical mistake to avoid. Do not say that air moves faster over a curved surface because it has further to travel. This is the transit time fallacy, and it is wrong. Examiners will not award marks for this explanation. The correct explanation is based on pressure gradients, the Bernoulli principle, and for spinning objects, the Magnus effect. Drag is the resistive force of a fluid acting against motion. Streamlining reduces drag by minimizing the cross-sectional area presented to the oncoming fluid. This is why cyclists adopt a tucked position, why swimmers wear tight-fitting suits, and why javelins are designed with a specific profile. Now let's go through some key exam tips and common mistakes. Tip 1. Always include units in calculations. If you calculate a force and write 270 without newtons, you will lose the mark. Every time, no exceptions. Tip 2. When asked to identify a lever, always identify all three components, fulcrum, effort, and load, and state their anatomical locations. Don't just name the class. Tip 3. For Newton's laws questions, always name the law first, then define it, then apply it to the specific movement in the question. Define, then apply. That's the structure. Tip 4. In angular motion questions, use the equation L equals I times omega. Even if you can't remember the exact values, showing the relationship earns method marks. Tip 5. For Bernoulli questions, always reference pressure differentials, not distance traveled. The examiner mark scheme will specifically reject the transit time fallacy. Common mistakes to avoid. Confusing second and third class levers. Remember, second class has the load in the middle, third class has the effort in the middle. Describing the effect of a force without naming the Newton's law? Always name it. Using mass instead of moment of inertia in angular motion calculations. And forgetting to distinguish between scalar and vector quantities when asked about speed versus velocity. Now, let's do a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. What is Newton's second law, and what is the formula? Pause and think. The answer is force equals mass times acceleration, F equals M times A. The law states that the acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the net force acting on it and inversely proportional to its mass. Question 2. In a bicep curl, identify the fulcrum, effort, and load and state the lever class. Pause and think. The fulcrum is the elbow joint. The effort is the bicep muscle force at its insertion. The load is the weight of the forearm and any held implement. This is a third class lever. Question 3. What happens to angular velocity when a diver tucks and why? Pause and think. angular velocity increases because moment of inertia decreases as mass is brought closer to the axis of rotation. Angular momentum is conserved, so as I decreases, omega must increase. Question 4. What is the Bernoulli principle and how does it cause a football to swerve? Pause and think. The Bernoulli principle states that as fluid velocity increases, pressure decreases. A spinning football creates faster moving air on one side, producing lower pressure on that side. The ball moves towards the lower pressure region, causing it to curve. This is the Magnus effect. Let's wrap up. Today we covered Newton's three laws of motion and their application to sport, the difference between scalar and vector quantities, the three classes of lever systems using the FLE mnemonic, the conservation of angular momentum and its application to diving and gymnastics, and the Bernoulli principle and dragon fluid mechanics. The key to scoring top marks in this topic is precision. Use the correct terminology, name the specific law or principle, apply it directly to the movement in the question, and always include units and calculations. The examiners are looking for AO1 knowledge, AO2 application, and AO3 analysis. So don't just describe, explain, and evaluate. Good luck with your revision. You've got this. See you in the next episode.